Hello, and welcome to the Safety Third Podcast. Today, his first appearance since the Joe Rogan Podcast. Wow, what a special edition.
It's welcome,
Michael
Vsauce.
How are you guys doing? It's great to be here.
Okay.
Look at this.
Yeah, okay,
platinum.
Come on.
Yeah, I haven't. I don't think I've been on a podcast since Joe Rogan.
Was it that bad of an experience?
No, it was a great experience, but I honestly don't know why I haven't done it, but you reached out. And I think I ignored you the first time.
Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah.
I'm used to it.
Will's persistent.
That's how I act.
I just assumed that you wouldn't watch some of them.
Yeah.
And then you were like, absolutely, I want nothing to do with that.
Yeah, and you asked again. You were persistent. Mm-hmm. And finally, I said yes. And here I am.
It worked.
Have you seen the podcast before?
I have. I saw the episode with Tom Scott.
Okay.
And so that gave me a taste of like, what am I getting into?
Yeah.
And
do you think it's going to be bad?
Oh, it's going to be bad. This episode in particular is going to be bad.
I think that they're getting worse and worse and worse over time for different reasons. I'm proud of it, actually. It's kind of one of the goals.
You think so?
Well, I mean, yes.
What do you guys think?
I think we care less. No, I think we used to care more, and now we care. Maybe that makes it better.
The problem is we're running we have to exist on a very thin line, because one of the comments said, if we get any better, we'll be worse.
That's true.
But if we get any worse, we'll be worse. So we have to...
We don't want them to expect anything.
We can only exist in a very narrow band.
It's like holding the microphones. Like yeah. we can't. That's why we can't get the stands. Because
yeah,
it
that's
looks
right.
Like,
it'd be too good.
You'll start to get like an ego or
you
something.
You get too good and you can't go back.
No.
I've started doing a lot of short videos and I feel the same way. I'll do some that I put a lot of time into and I love them and people love them. And then I go, my next one has to be
better.
Crappy. Because otherwise... I'm never going to be able to go back, and it's going to start taking me 8 months to make a short video.
That's like how the second channel thing starts. It's like, I need a channel to make my crappy videos, and then you have Vsauce 2, and then you're like, oh no, now these are too good.
Vsauce 2 is actually not a second channel.
Well, it was a second channel
at
first.
Wait, really?
Yeah, Vsauce began as a video game comedy channel, and then I wanted to do stuff that wasn't
you want to
video
break
games.
Out.
I wanted to do, you know, how big can a hole be, and... you know, human world records and stuff. And so I put those on Vsauce 2 because they weren't about gaming. And I thought, well, the audience will be really mad that I'm not doing video game comedy.
Yeah, you can't
on
like
Vsauce.
Mix niches.
And I was working with Kevin. He was literally making funny video game comedy that I was buying from him to put on Vsauce. And the audience was like, who's this guy? We want regular.
Yeah. We
stuff.
Hate this guy. Give we us hate the Michael guy.
Yeah.
And so I said, Kevin, why don't you take the Vsauce 2 channel? Because then you can cultivate your own style, your own audience. And then I was on Vsauce. And then we said, well, gosh, now we're kind of doing a thing where we start new channels. So we made Vsauce 3. And I was working with Jake in New York. He was helping me edit Vsauce videos. And I said, do you want a channel? And he was like,
just giving them out.
I was just handing them out. And so, yeah, that's how it happened. But yeah, it's the second channel effect. Ding. Was that way for me. I was like, I have this video, it's really neat, but it's not existentially absurd and deep enough to be a Vsauce video.
Yeah.
So I'll put it on Ding. And a lot of people in my life were like, you should be putting these Ding videos on Vsauce. There's more subscribers there. And I'm like, but it's a different show. Mm-hmm. Ding episodes are unscripted. The camera just rolls and I just say what I know.
Yeah, I feel like you kind of want like a consistent expectation where it's like you go to a channel and you kind of get exactly what you want. Mm-hmm. Like we were, I was talking to, I can't remember who, I may have been like a YouTube liaison or something. And they were talking about podcasts. Like,
I saw that.
Who puts their podcasts on their main channel? And I'm just like, would never, ever, ever, ever put a podcast on the main channel because it's not what people are expecting.
I feel like you get like one or two types of content on a channel. Yeah. Otherwise, it starts to feel kind of cluttered.
Look, I blame YouTube for calling them channels.
Yeah.
Because then the whole industry starts to think it's like a TV channel where you'll have different shows with different hosts. But they're not channels. They're shows. If you put your podcast on your main channel, you would have main channel videos with their viewership. Your podcast would probably have less because it's different. And now the algorithm learns that every time you upload, people aren't necessarily going to click. So let's stop promoting them. You hurt yourself.
So do you think Shorts has been like a nice, it sounds like you've been enjoying making
Now that they've
form.
Got them separated enough from longs.
Yeah, the tabs. Like,
it took like a year.
It took so long.
Yeah.
I would put a short up and all the comments would be, I was tricked. I thought this was a new Vsauce upload, but it was actually a short video and they would
hate it. A crappy short video.
But I knew that if I put that same video on Instagram or Twitter, people would love it.
Yep.
And so I'm like, well, YouTube is the place where I'm going to upload every 8 months because otherwise it won't be the right show.
So what have you been doing on Shorts? Like, just whatever you, whatever kind of weird idea you think doesn't fit into a video, or
after, you know, years of writing really long scripts, I've got so many little clippings that didn't make it in that I'm just pulling them all out. And I'm going, well, this is a short. And I just keep saving all these little bits that I'm like, I'll put those in the next video. And then I don't. And so now I'm like, I have a way to use these.
Yeah.
For example, I did the short recently about the earliest born person we have a photograph of. That was going to be in the selfie video, except it's not a selfie. The photo of the earliest born person. It's not a selfie. So I cut it.
Right.
And I'm like, I'll use that when I do a philosophy of images video someday.
And it always just felt like you were trying to shove it in somewhere it didn't quite
belong. I tried to shove things. And now I have a place where I can just do a quick thing. When the minute's over, it's done. I don't need to have some greater thesis.
Yeah.
I can just share the knowledge.
Now you can publish that part of the X-ray video that you cut me out of.
Yes.
But you got to make sure you keep your short quality bad.
Yes.
Because otherwise,
I messed up on that.
Yeah, you definitely messed up.
You messed up. You got to...
I put too much effort in.
I've got a lot of just toys where it's like fun for 10 seconds to watch how it works. And I need to make sure that I can always have a place for those. That my shorts don't become giant scripted researched things as well.
Yeah.
That's what the longs are for.
To be fair, with the shorts, they're so short, you can't put that much effort in.
Oh, look who's talking.
What? It's still, compared to the long ones, they're not even remotely, like, the same.
You make, like, the nicest shorts of all the people on the internet.
Well, they'll take, like, oh, thank you, first of all. Thank you very much.
Can you tell us how, like, you have to, like, reshoot your shorts multiple times because it's, like, not perfectly aligned with the camera?
It's rare that I'll have to reshoot. Sometimes I go back if the B-roll's, like, bad. But no, it takes like, I can do a short, the quiz I've done was in like 3 hours. Like from start to finish.
They're easy.
I think I filmed a main channel video in 3 hours years ago. I could never do that again.
Oh my gosh. If you look at, I did a video about why animals don't have wheels. And I filmed that in a room with a little, like, not even a phone camera, but one of those like transitional cameras they had that were pocket cameras.
Yeah.
Like a flip.
And I put it on a music stand and I just sat there in this echoey room. I was sweaty. It wasn't lit. I was just lit by the fluorescence.
Yeah,
I think that makes it better though.
And that was the whole video, and people loved it. Now I feel like everything needs to be so much more perfect.
Yeah.
However, shorts don't have to be. I get your perfectionism.
Yeah.
But I've spent a lot of time watching shorts lately, and some of them are so badly produced, but it doesn't bother me actually. Yeah. And I'm like, I could have terrible cuts and have it in too soon, and like it's still fine.
Oh yeah, I do totally agree with that.
Because your the first videos on your channel are like just sort of almost in the short spirit.
Yeah,
like
some
really early stuff. It's actually really funny going to your early.
You can learn a lot about the history of just internet audiences in general. 10 years ago, I could do a 5-minute video that was just the 20 craziest Disney princess pictures.
Yeah.
And people had nowhere else to find crazy Disney princess pictures. And so they would watch a YouTube video of me counting them down.
Yeah.
And now there's so many other social platforms to share images that's no longer a show that I would do.
So do you think it's like why do you think people watch videos? They're sort of curious for information, or they want to be entertained, or they're bored. Like, you know, because back in the day, like the princesses would be like, oh, here's some new information, or here, is it Michael? Like, I want to watch Michael. Or is it kind of like, what do you think is like changing over time that makes it feel like the videos have to get more complicated?
Oh, I think that people want to express who they are, and they watch content to learn how to do that. They say, give me the tools, give me the things to say and to notice and to think that allow me to figure out who I am and then express that. So when I learn these cool facts and these cool words, now I can bring that up with my friends and I can think in that same way. And that's how I want to think. And maybe they don't want to think that way and they hate what I say. Perfect. That's still part of their identity. I'm giving them fuel to become who they are.
That's I think probably the most interesting take I've ever heard on that, because it makes sense too when you see like someone will bring up a topic and you're just like, I swear to God, I think I saw something about that somewhere just like yesterday, and it kind of almost like you get these like
see that on Reddit all the time.
Yeah, and you can see like the Google search trends of like a topic will pop up somewhere like organically, it'll catch a bunch of people's interest, and then all of a sudden everyone is talking about that topic, and you're like, I saw that yesterday. Like it just creates this like these pockets of Like, yeah. Just for no reason, this information just becomes relevant and people are like talking about it because it's this new thing that they found.
That's right.
I'll see it like multiple steps removed too. So like Tom Scott just did this video on the parasitoid wasps.
Yeah.
And so if you like go to the Wikipedia page to learn about that wasp, there will be like some fact about some like other parasite wasp like disaster.
Someone else will...
And then somebody like reads that article, posts it to Reddit, and they're like, oh, I see, you've seen the Tom Scott video.
Right.
So it's like everybody kind of follows the same pattern.
Like that Wikipedia article got a huge boost, and then that got people finding a little bit of relevant information that was interesting enough to share.
Yeah.
Have you ever done like the Wikipedia challenge where you try to get from like something horrible to Jesus Christ?
I love that. Or just from a random page to another, to another random page.
Yeah.
Like, you have two... I don't know how the rules, there's different ways to play it, I would play it by having two people hit random page, and then you try to get to each other's pages as quickly as possible.
Oh, that's good, too.
It's just, it's a very simple way that's random.
Are you allowed to go back?
What do you mean
back? Like, if you click on something, can you go back?
You can go back.
You can go back,
yeah, okay. You just can't leave Wikipedia.
Right, okay.
And I love the fact that I think every page initially, or not initially, but eventually leads back to philosophy. Hmm. If you just keep clicking links, eventually it gets so broad that you just wind up hitting philosophy.
Mm.
Have you seen this?
Uh-uh.
There's a name for this effect. It's called like the philosophy. It's like the seven-step effect. It's like you hit the first link and on every Wikipedia
page. Degrees of
separation
or something.
Right. You'll go from chocolate to Germany to nation state to nation to politics to... culture to philosophy, you know,
it just keeps getting more and more broad,
and you always end up with philosophy. Things that we think but cannot prove.
Yeah, that's interesting. How do you when you're searching for ideas, because you're kind of, you feel like sort of the origin point of some of these like weird things, where it's like, where did somebody find that? And it's like, well, they saw something on Reddit and that led them to go onto Wikipedia to look it up, and then that led them to something else. Like, do you just like go down rabbit holes online to find everything that you talk about? Because like, you talk about some weird ass shit.
Yeah, that's by design. If I see something on Reddit, I know I can never make a video about it, because I want to initiate the conversation. Lately I just kind of have thoughts about stuff. Like, I'll watch a prisoner being escorted to court, and I'm like, look at all the police officers around them to protect them from the public. Yeah. We're protecting these people that we are ultimately going to sentence.
Right.
And what is that? So I'll try to find the psychology and the terminology and taxonomy behind something that
seems wrong, almost, or
not
seems
wrong,
like weird.
But just seems unexplored.
Yeah.
As soon as I see a Twitter thread about a topic, I cross it off the list of things I'm going to talk about.
So do you consume a lot of content? Like, you just like reading, watching, everything?
Yeah, I think it's like breathing in and out. Sometimes you're expressing and creating, and other times you need to just be consuming. And then after 5 months of that, you might go, hey, these are all related.
Yeah, you can find out a way to kind of connect everything that you've been reading and researching into one kind
of idea. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember there was like a, it was like an AI that was trained on research articles that was trying to sort of like correlate different conclusions. And it was sort of like predicting things that could be invented in the future, like by just like creating like this giant mesh network of ideas that, you know, here is like something about, you know, some nerve research, and then here is something about some like mechanical research. And it's like, it would take almost like a miracle for a human to connect the dots between the two.
Right.
Where it's like, it fundamentally, like, they could be linked, but like somebody would have to have, like, because I've always thought about, you know, if you're doing engineering, great, you're an engineer. If you're doing medical stuff, you know, you're a doctor or someone in the medical field. How do you make medical devices? Who's the guy that's like a doctor and an engineer who's like joining these dots together to create?
People do that.
I know they do it. Yeah. But like, you see what I'm saying? Where it's like, even on YouTube, it's kind of simple. Yeah. It's like, you have to know how to make videos, and you know, you have to know how to like find, you know, and understand topics to communicate.
Yeah,
them.
And it's very collaborative because things have become so big now.
Yes.
No one person can be like, hey, look at this yellow rock I found. Yeah. I just discovered an element. Now it takes billions of dollars and years of people from different universities working together to discover a new thing.
Yeah. Like, how often does somebody like invent something nowadays, like a garage inventor?
I mean, well, the invent arts, something useful is...
Well, probably, I mean, that's like...
Yeah.
I wanted to go back to shorts, because we've been using the word shorts to describe short videos. Is that, or is there an agreed upon name for TikToks, Reels, YouTube Shorts?
short form.
Yeah.
Short form where it's like it's not short, it's just a piece of content that's packaged in a shorter duration.
Yeah, they're all also vertical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which isn't actually the worst thing ever.
Yeah,
for a while, you get crucified.
I know. Remember when vertical video was terrible?
It looks better.
People were like, oops, you fucked up.
Yeah, people would like... they'd get really nasty on vertical
video. And now it's totally embraced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it actually works... there's something weird about like the format of like the vertical video and the time duration that like almost allows a completely different type of content.
Yeah.
Because... You know, you seem like I just watched. There's this guy on YouTube, Defunct Land. Kevin Perger is his name, and he does these like just bizarre like Disney kind of documentaries. And he just did one on the Disney Channel, like the theme.
Right. Yeah.
And like, where did it come from? Who even knows it? And apparently, a lot of people couldn't even remember what the actual theme was. But when you listen to it, you're like, oh my god, that's the, you know, the Disney Channel theme. And he was basically. Like exploring it through the transition from 4:3 to 16:9. And you kind of get to witness he kind of brought attention to the fact that they had to strategically make the 16:9 also work on 4:3.
Yep.
Which is your old tube TVs.
Yep.
And so it kind of like thinking at like what they had to do then, and then once 16:9 HD became more standard, then they could start taking up the entire frame. And so when you start looking at, you know, YouTube videos 16:9 versus shorts or TikToks that are vertical, it's like you don't think about it, but like you can show things differently. Like you can explore concepts in a way. Like, you know, when you're trying to make a thumbnail for a video and it's like something just is, it's too like tall.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's
so
like,
you have to walk back.
Right.
And it's like,
but then it's too small.
Right.
And so it's like 16:9 lets you sort of show things that are taller than like, it's weird. It's so weird.
I see the difference when I'm trying to do, I mean, anything that is like a tool, like some of my setups, like if I do like a filtration or something, it's tall and it just, empty screen for the rest of it. So like for a lot of the shorts, even things where it's like if I held a hammer out or something, I liked in the shorts because you could punch in really close. Whereas like Kevin said, with it 16:9, you have to go far back and then there's just nothing.
There's nothing. Yeah.
There's just nothing.
A tall like titration setup is going to be a line in the middle of a huge rectangle.
Yeah, exactly. If you do
and
titration,
thumbnails, I've noticed that with thumbnails. For my selfie video, the whole time I knew the thumbnail should be the chimpanzee looking at its reflection in the lake. But trying to fit that into a 16:9 thumbnail, it was too close.
Yeah.
And you couldn't see that it was a reflection. And so it drastically changes the conversation you can have.
You look like movie posters. Movie posters are basically vertical video. And it's like, why do they do that? It probably does my thought right now is it does a better job of presenting people because people are
vertical,
taller than they are wide.
Stand,
So I feel like short form content like lets you kind of like view people in a different way than 16:9 content.
That's right.
I think there's a lot more psychology about it too. Like when you see a 4:3 video, what do you think?
Nostalgia.
It's like older, right? And then you see a, like, what do you think kids are thinking today that grow up on like their cell phone and
probably
they see
vertical stuff,
And then like horizontal video is kind of going to be like more, I don't know, like higher production value.
Yeah.
And everybody has a phone. And so you're used to seeing like these personal videos where people kind of film vertically. So I think it might be a little bit.
Because what do movies do?
Your
they just like they do the other thing, right?
They go the other way. Super, super skinny sometimes.
Yeah, it's like, what does that mean? Like,
super wide.
It's more epic, like because that's like that's what you feel, like, right?
Yeah, they really narrow the medium is the message. You're saying stuff, and what do you mean will change when you change the aspect ratio, the medium. But yeah, I wonder if kids will in the future look at like my home videos that I shot landscape and they'll go, ah, this is old. In the same way we see black and white home videos and think this is old, or the camcorder look, that aesthetic, that will be the landscape effect on the new generations.
Yeah.
Man, I wonder, like, have you thought about that at all when you're making the shorts, or are you just sort of treating it like an Instagram story, or are you just sort of taking kind of your similar concept.
Have I thought about what the fact that it's vertical and that's different?
Like how do you kind of embrace that versus a normal video?
Well, it changes how everything gets framed and how much of my body is in the shot. And if I want to repurpose old landscape 16:9 clips to shorts, I have to put more work into it because I don't want to just crop in because my face winds up being way too big. And I heard something really interesting from Kevin Lieber over at Vsauce 2, and he said that he'd been repurposing clips on TikTok and that the worse it was cropped and repurposed, the better it did.
Really?
So if he had like a professional go in and optimize for vertical, it looked too polished. It looked like I'm supposed to see this because like a brand made it. But if someone literally just records,
it looks like they found it or something.
They found it, which means if a person takes their phone vertically and records their screen playing a video, now it looks like a normal person has curated this. It's passed that gate of, is this worth posting?
Yeah.
It's not being posted by someone who wants me to see it because it's their job. Just some fan knew that this was worth preserving and sharing. Yeah.
Have you seen
who did that?
Was Salad Fingers? Who's Salad? What's his name? Salad Fingers?
Was that tweet from the guy that made Salad Fingers?
Yeah, David Firth.
Did he say something about this?
So David Firth posted on Twitter. He, I think it was David Firth. He dubbed over some of the like during the like Prince Charles, like during the whole Queen death and everything. He like dubbed over some of the clips with a voice to make it sound like it's Charles, right? King Charles?
I can't remember.
The new king.
The new king.
Yeah.
To make it sound like he was talking, and he posted as like I did this, just doesn't do well.
It got like 3,000 likes or something.
Yeah, then he reposts like the same thing or does like a slightly different version, and it's like I can't believe they've done this. Or like, I can't believe someone did this.
Yeah, you have to find who made this.
It just explodes like hundreds of thousands of likes,
300,000
and like millions of views, and you're sitting there thinking like, oh my god, like nobody wants to see something that you did.
Yeah,
they want to see something that you found.
Yeah, it's like already passed some kind of filter.
Yeah, was it you who posted the Animal Kingdom thing?
Maybe. Which one was it? How long ago?
It must not have been you.
Maybe not.
Now I'm embarrassing myself as a true fan.
That's fine.
But
I posted about smoking crack at Disney World.
Well, you know, there's this famous bit. It's been around for a long time. I featured it on an episode of IMG 10 years ago, where at the Animal Kingdom like theme park, there's an Animal Kingdom sign. But if you stand with your head in the right place, I think it says that was Anal Kingdom.
It was like Drew Gooden or Eddie Burback.
It was Eddie.
It was Eddie.
That's it.
And
he shared that photo as like, here's, you know, me.
Yeah,
and
Animal Kingdom.
And people were like, ha ha ha, it says Anal Kingdom. Yeah. How funny. But then some aggregate account, it was either like Lad Bible or something. They shared it like, look what this guy accidentally did.
Oh my God.
And it got super viral.
Everyone thinks that they realized the joke themselves as opposed to somebody forcing the joke upon them.
Yeah. And if you share it as look what I did, then it's like, you intended this, but if it was accidental and who knows who made it, then it's a discovery that the audience has made.
Like some esoteric
meme. This has been around forever, even before the internet, but I've noticed this on Reddit all the time. People never seem to share, hey, here's this artwork that I made. My uncle makes art, and this is his newest one.
And he doesn't think he's good.
And he doesn't think he's good. That helps. That puts you over the edge.
I think what it is, like it adds an extra layer to the story of the art, right? You know, it's even like, I think the whole story of like, for example, like why is the Mona Lisa so famous? It's because, I'm pretty sure most of it's because it was stolen multiple times. Not specifically, why isn't his other paintings just as famous? But there's, I don't know if you know the whole story of the Mona Lisa. Like it was in the Louvre and it just disappeared. Someone stole it and then they found it somewhere and thinking, it went missing multiple times, I'm pretty sure. So then it just built up this big mystery around it, and now it's valuable because why are people
working right now? Like you're talking about it because it's got like
no, because they shove it on your throat when you're a kid. They're hey kids, you like paintings? Here's the Mona Lisa.
No, but there's a whole story that's not even just about like the guy who painted it or the painting itself, what it represents.
It has like a history that's interesting.
So it's almost a larger version of this is my uncle's painting, and he doesn't think he's good. It's like there's a story to talk about. I can share it to Will going, hey, check out this painting. This guy doesn't even think he's good.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't share, hey, look at this guy's painting. It doesn't feel as shareable and like there's no story to share about it.
I feel like those content aggregators kind of nullify that whole phenomenon though. Like when I see something on one of those like, you know, Lad Bible, I'm like, I don't even care.
Yeah. But Kevin, who are the people who go and subscribe to that?
Not me.
Exactly.
Do you have do you have any issues with your stuff being ripped by content aggregators?
No, I don't have any problem with it because in a way that's how we
like they don't do it to you or you don't care when they do it?
What do you mean? Sorry.
Like, so they do take stuff, but you don't care?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Same here. I really don't mind.
I think that if you mind, you're kind of old-fashioned. Like, there is a line that can be crossed when it becomes freebooting. And it's like, this is different. But when people repurpose my content because they appreciated a short piece of it, or they wanted to change it up,
like,
you know, that's part of the culture. I think on the same topic of the Mona Lisa and all of that, there's also a similar thing going on with the ads that say stuff like, this mom discovered a way to whiten your teeth. And doctors
and
are mad.
It's like some weird plant in her hand.
It was bleach.
There's something going on there where you can sell a product and develop trust really well if it's just a nobody that discovered it.
Yeah.
And I've thought a lot about why that is. Hmm. And in a related sense, I've thought about, I'm pretty sure this was you. You shared an article written about you, but they didn't call you
your
name.
YouTuber.
You're just a guy. Or
this guy.
Yeah, this guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If it said, YouTuber William Osmond does blah, 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 people would go, I don't know who that is. Yeah. But if it says, a guy did this, they go, oh, that's like me.
Yeah.
I'm a person too.
Yeah.
So
an angry email to her.
Yeah, but now it kind of makes sense a little bit, right?
But that's what's frustrating, because like I can't even get verified on Twitter. No, I don't want it anymore. Don't give me it. I couldn't even get verified on Twitter because no one's writing articles about me because they can't use the name because the name means nothing.
Yeah.
And so no one's like, they're talking about the work, but they're not talking about me. And I'm not, you know.
Like if you have a manager or an agent, like a big part of their job would be to make sure that you're not called a guy or YouTuber William Bubble. But instead it should just be William Osmond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's what Hollywood actors get. They've never been in a film before and they get covered in the media with their name.
This guy starred in Mission Impossible.
Yeah. And you're like, I guess I'm supposed to know this person.
Yeah.
But if you append something to it, like YouTuber, then it's telling the audience you don't know who they are.
Yeah, right.
I think a lot of really successful YouTubers understand that and take advantage of it. Like Mark Rober, he still to this day is considered former NASA. And he's Mark Rober. This guy's on Kimmel like every night.
Right.
He's huge. Yeah. But yet by being a former NASA engineer or JPL or whatever, that helps make it clear that he's risen above the gatekeepers.
Yeah.
He's the mom who discovered a secret, and a mom who discovered a secret, she'd be stopped.
Yeah.
So what she discovered must have been huge.
Yeah. Oh. It kind of feels like they're not trying to force it upon you when it's the mom. It's like this mom found something, not we made something to sell you.
That's right. I don't need to be as suspicious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that like for some reason in my head, it being a mom, it's like she's not affiliated with any of these big companies.
Yeah.
So maybe she found something real, like something that no one has seen before. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she's not afraid to sell the secret.
It's like, just, you know?
Yeah, she's so separated from everything else. She has the real secret. Yeah.
And there's trust to it. I wonder if any of it is that the big companies can get by the regulators because they're so big, but a mom couldn't.
Right.
So if she's making headlines, then she has done something that is unstoppably good.
Yeah.
Because a little person would have been stopped.
Yeah.
And it's the same with a guy built this thing or a former NASA employee did a thing. You go, oh, this
must
is important.
Great.
If you tell their name or their occupation, now it's like promotional.
Yeah. Right. Which is bad.
Yeah. Now by reading this, I'm helping them rather than myself.
Yeah, Reddit's notorious for that. Like Reddit loves finding new people. I think it's like, I remember Simone talking about this, something like that. Like they love finding someone that nobody's watching.
Yeah.
But the instant people are watching them, then it's like, this person's trash.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's a roller coaster.
It is. It's not a fun roller coaster because you sit there like, I've just been doing the same thing I've always been doing.
Yeah. Like Keanu Reeves must just be full of anxiety.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's like they're holding the king up just so they can slam him into the ground.
The second he becomes too mainstream, people on Facebook start liking him, Reddit will go, no, actually, I'm really into this person now. He's our hero now.
Yeah, the new one, yeah.
Brendan Fraser, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think actually it's coming around people, like, unironically, like Nicolas Cage now.
Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, you can't even tell that.
You can't see it, but there's a Nicolas Cage pillow on the couch.
This isn't my handiwork. I turned him into a luchador. Here, wait. Do you want to unscrape the luchador? Or I'll do it. What is this? Where did you find this? This is amazing.
That belongs to Jake Roper.
It does.
When he moved to New York, he took all of his stuff except for that. So I see that as kind of
a gift.
A gift, a memory.
All right, ready? Can you see this, Ian?
Yeah.
Isn't that the greatest thing ever?
It's beautiful.
I think, yeah, people just appreciate. It's not that he was bad before. People, it's not that they didn't like him, but now the style of video is like, oh, yeah, I get it.
National Treasure is a great movie.
It is a great movie.
I actually really like it. National Treasure is a
great movie. What about Ghost Rider?
Ghost Rider is, I think it's okay, too. It's all, I don't think, I mean, maybe he's got some bad movies, but, like, honestly, I don't think, I like Nicolas Cage. I think he's,
yeah,
you know, he's got
his. I think
it's
just, like, the style of movie is a little bit campy sometimes.
Yeah, but that's what, you know,
he definitely has some good movies.
Yeah. I don't know if people get so.
I didn't like Ghost Rider. I saw it in theaters with some friends, and we were so disappointed that we pulled one of those "let's go into another theater and not pay" moves.
What'd
broke
you see
the
then?
Law. We saw a wonderful movie that we loved, the Reno 911 movie.
Oh, that's good.
That was so good.
That movie.
We were very happy.
I may have just been very young when I saw Ghost Rider. I don't remember it being good, but I think I would pretty much just watch anything.
Yeah, I think that's the problem.
So what are your plans for YouTube? Because we were kind of looking at some of your videos, and it seems like you've got some eras. Like,
interesting.
You've got the Moon Men era, right? Because you don't use that anymore, do you?
I've been using it more often lately. I don't know if I've ever done a video where I didn't use it. That's actually a really interesting question.
Because the meme is sort of like, you know, right at the beginning of the video, you sort of pop up.
Yeah.
Moonman's playing. You say the thing, and then the video sort of starts. Because I think there's like, I was going and looking through some of your videos, and that you don't do that every single time, but for some reason that kind of has become like the Vsauce thing. Also, Moonman. Should we play a second of Moonman? Hey, let's play a second of Moonman.
Yeah, Moonman by Jake Chudnow, which I never called it Moonman. I called it 130.
Really?
Which is what the file was called that he gave me.
Oh, interesting.
So even to this day, when I put the music in, I search 130, and that's 130.mp3.
Where is this music from?
It was made by my friend Jake Chudnow, who I worked with at Next New Networks, and we sat next to each other, and he's a musician, he's a composer, and he was like, well, I've got all these songs I made in college, like, why don't you use them? Yeah. And I love Moon Men because it's got that kind of poppiness to it, and you can put that underneath anything, and it almost always syncs up with interesting moments.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't have to work very hard to make the beats happen when interesting stuff happens. It's synced with the way I talk, but it just fits.
Mm. Yeah.
And I'll put it in, I'll have the big note start right when I've asked a big question, you know, or is it? Are people getting hotter? And then
or
am I getting colder? And
oh shit.
It just fits with my manner of speaking, where every time I've got another question or another weird thought or an eyebrow raise, it does another like boing.
Yeah.
And so I love that. Now he's in London now, and I was just hanging out with him back in August, and yeah, his music is phenomenal. And so I'm so indebted to him for being part of my journey.
So I find that very interesting, how it's like you just happen to know him. And then he had this music, and then it becomes such an integral part of, like what Will was saying, it's kind of like
ingrained.
When I think of your videos, it's exactly that. Like, you pop up, the music's playing, and it's like, it's so ingrained in what you built your channel into, but it was just random at the beginning.
It's become like a part of meme culture.
It has. Like, people put that music over other things.
Marquez Brownlee used it like 2 days ago in a video.
It's unfortunately, it's not Moon Men. It's the Vsauce thing.
Yeah, right. Well, you know what? We actually pressed a little vinyl of it because Moon Men was not a standalone song. It was part of this whole album that Jake Chudnow made. And Moon Men was one of the songs.
Are you selling the vinyl, by the way?
I've got some that I can give you.
Yeah, I would very much.
How many do you have?
I have enough for you guys. Okay. It was a limited edition run that we used to raise money for the Alzheimer's Association. And so he made this I don't know what you would call it. It's a kind of opera about the Apollo 11 mission. And Moon Men is one of the songs. It was just completely unintentional that it would become so ingrained. And I've used it a lot more lately. I think I went through a period of using a lot of music from Audio Network, which is great. But man, people really wanted on the Vsauce show, they wanted that music.
The thing, yeah.
And I get it. Yeah.
How do you feel about people sort of like the memes about it? Because I've done a couple of them too, where it's like taking exactly what you're doing and just doing something weird with it.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it because I feel like, especially today, when you make art, you don't own it. You know, yeah. I mean, you deserve to profit from it, but it's now part of a conversation that everyone should be able to have. And so when I see, you know, Marquez using it, he did it in this brilliant way where he wrote he's had this whole speech about how no one's going to actually listen to AI scripted videos. Or will they?
Yeah.
This whole video was written by AI.
Yeah.
And that's when Moonman kicks in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I love this. And I feel so awesome for Jake Chudnow because his song has become an invitation to think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's sort of like questioning reality.
Yeah.
That's what Moonman is.
Yeah.
It's like something confusing that you perceive a certain way. Cause like, I don't even remember what I did, but it was like, I think I did it like once or twice and it was just kind of like, you know, like something about this, but what about that? And it's just like, you're just sort of going through this like weird, like thought process. And then it's like, it's so good. I feel like it's one of my favorite, I think, like kind of video memes.
All of his music is phenomenal. And I think starting with, Did People Used to Look Older? In that video, I went back to only using his songs. And in the selfie video, I only used his songs.
Is it old stuff or new stuff too?
It's a mix actually, because he's made a few new tracks. And I brought him on to do the theme for Mindfield.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not a full-time composer though. He's like a bigwig at a place called Podimo, which is this Denmark-based podcast subscription platform, which is not very common in the US, like paying money like you would for Netflix, but for podcasts.
Really?
But that allows them to fund, you know, premier podcasts.
Right, like better stuff.
I don't want to say better, but just the kind of stuff that you need a lot of time, like Serial.
Oh,
you know,
right. Like
where you're going to do
a bunch of research and stuff.
A bunch of research, and you're only going to make one or two seasons. It's not going to go on for years.
Right.
So yeah, he set up a cool room where he's composing, and I hope to be out in London more often to work with him. Cause I've got a dream of doing it's basically a movie called From Nothing. And it just starts with me naked in the woods.
Yeah.
All of the music is it's completely scored by Jake Chudnow. And I just find myself here. I have nothing. And I need to discover the laws of the universe.
Yeah.
So I drop rocks. I tie them to leaves to make pendulums. I build ramps. I count. And suddenly I'm learning about the conservation laws. And we go all the way to the principle of least action.
How soon into it do you make clothes? Or is it like the lowest priority?
Oh, I never make clothes. This is a physics video, like not
a
fashion video.
Be naked in a video.
I'm naked the whole video.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be incredible if I put like years of my life into this and I just put it on Pornhub?
Yeah. Yes. I don't know if I would suggest doing that, but that would be an amazing meme.
And it would be like such a wonderful movie to learn about physics, but yet no school could ever use it.
You can't put it anywhere.
Well, they're definitely, someone make a censored version.
They would make a censored version right away. In fact, I've made censored versions. There was an episode, I think it's called Will We Ever Reach Other Stars? And some animators from a show, what was it? I forget the name, but they animated me being naked in space.
Yeah.
And they gave me a little willy.
Yes.
And I got reached out to by a school that was like, we love this episode, but could you please censor that?
Oh. Yeah.
Could you make it bigger? And so I made a censored version for them that I shared unlisted for their school to use.
That's amazing. Yeah.
What is the principle of least action? I don't know if I'm familiar with that.
The principle of least action is a way of describing a physics in our universe. So action is I'm not totally prepared to talk about this.
Okay.
But if you take I think it's like the potential minus the kinetic energy of a system, could be the other way around, that's called the action.
Mm.
And you'll notice that everything that happens minimizes the action. And so if you want to know about the trajectory of a ball that's thrown in the air, you can use F equals MA, or you can use the principle of least action. In fact, if you take the principle of least action, you can derive F equals MA from it.
Oh, interesting.
So the question is, why does the universe minimize action? I don't mean action in terms of like things happening. I mean action in the sense of the difference between kinetic like and potential energies.
Yeah, that's actually like anytime I do any sort of physics calculations, I really prefer to use energy over any like the kinematic.
So you mean like energy as opposed to something
like looking at like
force
and yeah, and right.
But you need both.
Yeah, you do need both, but it's sort of like, it's a little bit more pleasant to think about things in terms of energy.
So is it like how a lot of things...
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Have kind of an activation energy. Like wood just doesn't spontaneously combust. You need to like take energy from the sun and turn it into like use it to melt down some metal that makes sparks for a lighter to set it on fire.
I don't think it's that macroscopic. I think it's more like the behavior of mass in the universe will always satisfy this. And Richard Feynman has a great lecture where he makes it really kind of intuitive why it's the case. But just you think about traveling from home to work, and he's like, there's no way to make that journey not minimize action. And there's a fantastic book called The Lazy Universe. And I spent a really long time on this video that is now going to be a movie in my head. Yeah. I know someday I hope to do it. But it went from like literally nothing to the principle of least action, which I should clarify for those watching, it's not just least, it's stationary, because least action would be a minimum, but it can also just be a point where the graph of action is like stationary. It might be lower somewhere else, but.
Yeah. It's like at this like meta state.
So it's like a balance point between kinetic
so,
and potential.
So,
like a pendulum would be
every time
balance.
I've said principle of least action, edit it to say principle of stationary action, okay. And then I'll really get some points
like the
with
false
the physicists.
Kind of thing. I don't know.
So it'd be like I guess the idea is that even something that's like kind of doing something can have some combined state of different energies, but it's always at the same amount.
Boy, it's been a couple of years since I looked into this, but there's a channel that I'm sure you guys are familiar with, Physics Videos by Eugene, and then a last name I'm not remembering.
And look it up.
He did a video on the principle of least action, and
it sounds like almost philosophical, just as much as it is like math.
It is, and I think Up and Adam did a video about it too, kind of just describing that it's the case. And I worked, I actually, like in YouTube comments, talked to the creator of that video about like, but why is the, formula written that way? And I wrote out this whole thing about teaching it in this really intuitive way that was obvious and visual. And I remember one day I took Jake Roper into our conference room and I presented to him this video, like unscripted, but just kind of like, here's what it's going to be. And it took 6 hours. And that's when I realized this is not my next video, but I need to make a video because it's been so long. So I just took out a little bit about the conservation of angular momentum and I made the law and causes video. Hmm. But that was literally like a couple of pages of this big, script that I'd been working on ever since Brain Candy Live started. So there's a lot of stuff I haven't done that I've written.
Is the guy's last name...
Kutogorsky or something.
MOSFET?
Yeah, Kutoryansky.
Yeah.
And
he's a really nice guy who has really helped me. And his videos are phenomenal at helping explain these concepts. They're also weird because
like,
of the animation style.
Yeah.
And the voiceover is by this woman who has a very unique way of talking. But the pace and the visuals, I think, elucidate concepts like Lagrangians and the principle of stationary action in ways that are just no textbook had ever done for me.
What's something that you were most confused on that watching one of these videos helped you understand better?
Well, I mean, that's a perfect example. Trying to think of some other ones.
Has there been any sort of like, you know, topic that you've sort of never really understood and then
lots point, of them, yeah.
But so then when you like, what was the most satisfying of like doing a video coming up with like you're doing the moment. Research and you like realize like, oh my God, I
okay, I well I don't want to give away everything that I hope to do in the future, but I spent a really long time trying to find the physical origin of torque.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we all know that like a crowbar, a lever, these things help make jobs easier. And there's an easy formula for why you're trading force for distance.
Yeah.
But how does the universe know you're doing that? How does it know like, whoa, 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 he's using a lever, guys. He doesn't need to apply as much force. And I was not satisfied with ideas about conservation laws or formulas because it didn't seem to explain what was happening mechanically. And it took me a year before I found a paper, and now I'm giving away what I hope to put in an episode, but I found a paper called The Physical Origin of Torque. And the argument made, which I've heard some people debate, the argument is that it all hinges on the fact that stuff bends,
yeah.
That there's no perfectly rigid object.
Right.
And that was my problem. I had been trying to work through the formulas and what was happening molecule by molecule. But if you assume that forces travel instantaneously, torque will not fall out. You have to allow things to not travel instantaneously, which obviously we know is true. Speed mm-hmm. of light is the speed limit. But once you allow things to bend, you can do the trigonometry of their angles and angular momentum falls out. So in the Laws and Causes video, I actually shot myself explaining all of this just by drawing on paper. And it was like almost too long. And I wanted to do it better justice. I want it to look better. So I didn't wind up putting that in the episode.
Still do that as a kind of its own standalone.
Yeah. I might do it as its own standalone. It might be part of From Nothing. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I might be standing alone naked in the woods explaining it.
Hopefully it is.
So what like how many ideas do you have right now? Do you have like a sort of infinite video ideas? Do you have like, well, I can imagine if you're doing a lot of research, mm-hmm. which you basically I think have to be doing to cover the topics you're covering, you probably end up finding a lot of things that could be videos, and that's like along the way of maybe trying to figure out a different video.
Yeah.
How do you decide? Is it just whatever is most exciting to you? Because like that's how I do it. It's like I'll have an idea and then I'll come up with something else. But actually, I want to do this one right. I just sort of do it.
Lately, it's just been the pressure to make a video gets so immense that I can't keep learning. And mm-hmm. so I just write down everything from the last few months that I found cool. And I go, what's this video about? You know, like did people used to look older? That was just a third of a video I had been working on that I called The Flattening. And it was about how access to information is changing our how we process reality. And people seeming to look older in the past was one part of it. There was another part about what I call the illusion of experiential depth. And there was another part about social media. And it just got so big that it was going to take all day to film. And it would take me a year to edit. So I just took one piece of it. But I still have all this other stuff written. And now I really want to get a video out super soon. So I'm going back through everything I've written. And I'm going, all right, what's the title of a video that contains all of this?
Mm-hmm. Is that, what's the hardest part? Is it the title thumbnail? Or do you think you kind of get interested in a topic because you think there's kind of a weird question to ask?
The title and thumbnail should probably be coming first, but lately they've come last.
And it's like panic to figure out what it is.
And that's tough. It was much easier when I did videos that were just like, why don't animals have wheels? Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, that's a great title. And all I need to
I really
address
do like
that.
It. The more you think about it, the more it's like, wait, actually, it doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah. I really had a lot of fun making that episode. And I was really happy to hear feedback from two people. Once I was just walking around Chelsea Market in New York, and the security guard came up and was like, my church group watches that video because it's such a wonderful look at like this the uniqueness of creation. like literally a week before, Richard Dawkins had tweeted out my video because it was such a great demonstration of natural selection. And I'm like,
wow. That's great.
And this was made back in like 2011 or something. So the debate around evolution and all of that was a little hotter.
Yeah.
But I never used the word evolution in the video. I talk about, well, look, you know, if you're surviving well and you're reproducing and your kids have a lot of success and they have a lot of kids, then eventually there's going to be more members of your species like you. I just didn't use the words that made people turn off.
Right. Yeah.
And so, look, I was hearing from a very diverse group of people that loved and learned from the episode simply because of the vocabulary I used.
You were like staying away from things that they sort of had kind of compartmentalized as a...
Yeah, CGP Gray said a great thing that has been credited to me, but I'm pretty sure he's the one who told me this. And he was like, you should always overestimate like how smart your audience is. People are smart, but you should underestimate their vocabulary. Because once you start using words to cover whole concepts, that's when you lose people, either because they don't actually know what it means or because they've learned that it's complicated or that it's bad. So instead, just treat them like they're really smart, but don't hide behind, oh, principle of least action. And if you don't know what that is, look it up.
Mm.
You've lost them. Instead, start at the beginning.
Yeah.
And people who it's totally new to, they will appreciate that. People who are, you know, physics professors, they'll also appreciate the breakdown and the explanation being intuitive.
It's like trying to learn how to code. I've been trying to learn that recently. And then it's like, you have to, they say like, yeah, okay, so just download these dependencies. And you're like, well, what's a dependency?
Right.
How do I download it? What is all, what's Java?
Why?
Yeah, why? Exactly.
Why? So, why? Wait, actually, you have a kid.
Yeah.
You know, do they ask why a lot?
All the time.
I feel like if there was any dad in the world who had a kid who was why, you'd probably be the best at...
Yeah, you should talk to my family and my wife about this because, yeah, I do feel an immense responsibility to always answer the why questions because that's my job. How terrible would it be if your dad was me and when you asked why, I said, just because.
Yeah. I can just imagine because. My dad would make stuff up sometimes, but
he would answer me all the time.
At least you now you have a repository of work that if she does ask questions, you can, instead
that's
of saying,
right.
just look it up, you go, I've answered it, and you send her a link.
That's right. That's right. Look, my TED talk was about the why game.
Yeah.
The fact that you can just always ask why.
Yes.
But I don't always know why.
Mm.
But it's still important rather than saying just because to say, I actually don't know. Let's look it up.
Yeah.
Or
maybe
why do you think?
Mm.
Yeah.
And allow them to do some reasoning.
Yeah.
You just always end up at, yeah. I'm trying to think of a good example. Sometimes I feel like I've answered it and she'll still be like, why? And I'm like, well, because if we didn't eat food, we wouldn't be alive. Why? Well, you know, and you get into metabolism and all of this. And eventually it's just like, well, because if we didn't eat, we wouldn't be around to be asking this question.
Yeah.
And now you're talking about death, you know,
to
a child. Yeah.
How often does this happen?
Oh, every day. Every day.
It seems kind of fun almost, you know? I think I would enjoy that.
For a little bit, maybe.
Maybe.
It hasn't gotten old.
Yeah.
I do think that sometimes she says why when what she really means is, I want you to keep telling me stuff.
Mm.
She's not actually asking for the reason behind what I just said. She just wants to learn more. Because sometimes there isn't really a thing that she's asking why about. I do like a Q&A after story time at night. We read stories and then we turn out the lights and it's Q&A time. And she can just say, I ask a question and my wife and I will answer. So far, her questions are things like, what happens if you pee on a cat? You know, they're not like, you know, textbook questions, but then we'll
be
like, well,
question.
You know,
I'm curious.
I mean, I don't know the answer.
I don't know the answer either.
Here's a cat. And then this is called a control. And now this is called.
So we're going to do an experiment. We're going to get our cat in here and we're going to see what happens. Let's take some notes and make sure we have a control. That's fine. We have two cats.
Yeah. So write it down. Otherwise it's not science.
She's a visual learner. I understand.
But yeah, they're almost always about poop and pee.
The basics.
What if you poop on a cat?
Well, there was one time she asked, like, can you poop out your mouth? I said, that's not typical, but I do think that there are, you know, scenarios and where medically feces could come out the mouth.
I've seen that episode of House before.
Right? So it's I started explaining that, like, well, in rare circumstances, my wife was like, maybe we could tell her about that later.
It's funny because, like,
to worry about.
A kid is asking that question just because they, like, are genuinely curious too, and it really it's sort of
they can't handle the answer.
Well, I think you need to be really careful about it because, like, look, to a YouTube audience, I need to be really precise. Like, there could be a way in which this might happen, but it happens once in a billion people.
Yeah.
It feels like I'm not telling the child the full truth by saying, no, you don't poop cannot come out of your mouth. But that's really what she wants to know. She wants to know how the body works.
What era?
So you have to, like, look into her questions a little bit more than just what she's.
What era of Vsauce would you have posted a video titled, Can You Poop Out Your Mouth?
Any era. Any era.
That's one of his
feature ideas. I feel like that video might do well.
I've only changed what I'll do because of audiences changing. Mm. You know, I don't do the countdown videos about, you know, hottest video game characters because other people do that better and there's other places for it. But I haven't.
And they're all hot nowadays.
And they're all hot nowadays.
We're getting hotter.
And also it's unfair to even, it's so subjective.
Yeah.
Who is hot? Like, I think today I would do more of a, like, what is hot?
Mm.
I did look into whether people are getting hotter. And this was one of the first times I'd looked into a question and actually decided that it wasn't worth doing. Because you might say, look, if attractive people have more kids, then shouldn't, through natural selection, the human race become more attractive? Problem is that there's just really no way to study it.
It's too subjective.
It's too subjective.
Attractiveness has changed
so much. If you brought back George Washington would he think that I'm hot?
Smash or pass.
But
George
so much
Washington.
Of his hotness would also depend on the cultural norms. Like
exactly.
His hair and even
his
body
teeth,
type, the way he dresses, the way he presents himself. Those would all be things tailored to his world, not ours. But then there's a lot of other factors too, like, do attractive people have more kids? In order for this to be naturally selected, their kids will also have to have more kids. And being hot or not is not, like, the deciding factor about whether you pass on your genes. So
I've seen this documentary about this called Idiocracy.
Yeah.
And Idiocracy is really, in my opinion, more a movie about people being misled. They're not dumb people. They have just been told by all powerful forces that plants need Brondo.
Yeah.
You know, they've been taught that reading is bad. They didn't discover that. They didn't get born and feel that reading is bad. They were told it by authorities.
Yeah.
They had a bad start.
Yeah. I don't agree with the message of, like, oh, we need more smart people to have kids. It's like, we need to be careful what we teach.
Mm-hmm. Teach them to be smart.
And to value thinking and to value.
To be curious.
Curiosity.
Yeah.
Yes.
How do you feel about, like, memorization in schools? I feel like we've been talking a lot about schools recently.
Yeah.
Like, do you have any sort of like education takes or, like, any thoughts on how people learn?
I would love to be a teacher. I think what they do is incredible.
Yeah.
I do nothing like what they do. I get to make a video about, you know, can you eat poop if you cook it first?
Yeah,
and
sure.
That's not part of a curriculum. The answer is I mean, obviously, like, if you burned it up to ashes, you're just mainly eating carbon. You could probably eat your own poop, but you shouldn't eat another person's poop.
How do you? I
welcome
feel
to,
like,
fifth grade. See, I'm not really.
I'm trying to coin a term. I don't know if it's happened yet or if someone already did it, but edible versus eatable.
Okay.
Like, eatable, you could eat, you know, poop, you could eat sand, you could eat maybe glass, but edible is like it would hurt you or kill you.
So is there actually a distinction between those words, or are you developing?
I don't know.
This?
I feel like every time I look it up, there's really no clear distinction. But I like the idea of it being, I mean, I should probably do something.
In my head, edible was always like it's potentially a food.
Yeah,
that's what I think. But eatable is like, are you physically
can
capable
you put it in
of
your
putting
mouth?
It inside your body?
Okay, right. So, like, those little cameras that are pills that you swallow, those are eatable.
Yeah.
They can go in the body, but they're not edible because your body doesn't process it.
Yeah, that would be my, like, feeling.
Or could you, like, it's a rock. It's too big to fit in your mouth, so it's not eatable. But if you process it, it's edible.
No, I'm saying edible would be something that's like you can reasonably eat for like sustenance.
Yeah, so it says, so it is on Merriam-Webster, it says fit or able to be eaten, but I still think that it doesn't quite.
But did you look up edible?
I think edible is, it says they're kind of used interchangeably. Okay. So
yeah, they
see.
Do. I mean, they sound like
eatable,
the same thing to me.
Edible.
No, edible, definitely.
Edible is fit to be eaten. So I think that they're kind of like used in the same way.
Yeah.
Right. But you eatable. Would like them to have slightly different
yes,
meanings
I think,
because we've got two different
yeah.
properties.
Yeah. Eatable, I could put it in my mouth and swallow it. Edible is like it is.
I mean,
food.
I feel like the medical world already has words like this is an oral device or this is an internal. I don't know what the word is, but they might not say edible because you don't chew it and your intestines don't take stuff out of it, but it is supposed to pass through.
Yeah.
Like an antacid or something.
Isn't it,
it's just like calcium carbonate, so you don't really like process it. It just kind of neutralizes.
Right.
You know, it's kind of just like a physical thing in your body.
But what about something that does nothing, like sand, like eating a rock?
Yeah, you could do that. You My dogs eat. Do that all the time.
Yeah.
My dogs eat poop too.
You're saying like sand, a little bit of sand is eatable.
Yeah.
But it's not an edible
right.
material.
It's not, it doesn't do anything. It just you could put it in your mouth. You could swallow it. And it comes out. And it doesn't do anything inside of you.
So what is not edible?
Like maybe this table in its entirety.
Right. Okay. Now, wait a second.
But
like,
if
I'm
you broke it up into little pieces, you could eat it.
Eatable.
Yeah, like my rock analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think that edible means more like safe to eat. Eatable means... Could you physically get it into your stomach?
Yeah, I think.
Like, you know, poisons are eatable.
But they're not edible.
But they're not edible.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Wait, what is the purpose of this? You're just curious.
I just think that it's, you know, it's something that I want to talk about.
I don't think I've ever heard somebody use the word eatable before.
Yes, because it doesn't have a distinct purpose.
Whenever anyone said eatable, they go, oh, you mean edible.
Yeah, they think that you're saying it wrong. But but eatable is a word, huh?
It is, but I don't think it quite exactly means this, but like it does to me, it makes sense. Like I could eat it, but it would be bad for me, which makes it not edible, but still I could eat it.
You could eat it.
Yeah.
Right. I could not eat a black hole.
Yes.
It could eat you.
It could. But it's eating a thing that you have to be an organic living creature to do.
What is eating?
It's a social construct. You
is
could
eating
say that
real?
It's eating you. People would know what you're talking about.
Do trees
about.
Eat sunshine?
And oxygen?
Oh, shit.
Do I eat the air that I breathe? No, I think we...
It's the process of like ingesting.
Through a digestive system.
Or something.
Wait, what would you call trees when they are absorbing CO2 and sunlight?
Breathing would be a better
breathing?
Analogy, maybe. Because,
but they're not really.
What's it, turning oxygen into?
It's more like, what is that process called?
Is this photosynthesis?
They're photosynthesizing.
So is that like, but you would be like digesting.
Yeah.
So like getting the food in is eating. So photosynthesis would be like digestion. How would like?
Well, yeah, I mean.
So are they eating sunlight? Well, are they eating
CO2? They're taking carbon and they use sunlight to turn it into glucose or some kind
of... So they're changing the molecules, which is kind of like what we do when we digest stuff.
So they're when they take in the molecules.
But it's like reverse metabolism.
Yeah, it is reverse.
Yeah.
But but chlorophyll and hemoglobin, I believe, are really similar molecules.
Yeah. I think.
Or is it like closer to... the mitochondria type thing. Well, because the chlorophyll makes the energy, the mitochondria
is the powerhouse.
There we go, of the cell.
Same with the balls of the powerhouse.
Whatever.
Of your dick.
I mean, we just made up these words. I once asked a paleontologist in a video. I was like, "Is a hyena a cat or a dog?" Because they have dog and cat traits. He was like, we make up these terms.
At some point, it just doesn't matter anymore.
It's just to help us. It's not like the hyena. Or God has some answer. Like, oh, you got that right. Yeah. Plants digest sunlight. You got it right. It's more like you guys invented digestion. You figure it out.
Yeah. This is my official petition to change eatable into something you can eat that could be poisonous. And edible is something you can eat that is not poisonous.
I expect to see Wikipedia articles updated.
I'm petitioning right now. I don't know if this is an official form I can fill out. I'm aggressively going to pursue this. This is going to be my, what's that book that they have for kids? It's like Frindle or something where they rename the pen.
Yeah.
This is my Frindle moment.
That's so I was literally reading Frindle last night.
Really?
Because we were looking for books to read to our daughter. And I pulled out a bunch of books that I liked as a kid. And I was reading Frindle.
Huh. I'm going to write one called Eatable. Is Eatable. It Eatable?
I've never heard of Frindle. Have you? No.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening to our very good podcast. Thank you very much. Michael, Mr. Vsauce himself. If you want to go check him out, you just type in the words Vsauce. Anything else?
Yeah, check out Corndog Willie on TikTok.
Corndog Willie on TikTok. Is that your TikTok handle?
That's my TikTok handle.
Nice.
Okay, wait. Where did corn come from? Where did the corn come from? I need to know where the corn came from.
I don't really know.
Do you like corn?
I like corn.
Just casually?
My dad used to sing this song like while he was peeing. He'd be like, Corndog Willie was a friend of mine.
And is this real?
Yeah, I thought it was like a song.
Yeah.
And I like searched it one day, and the only usage of it was me singing it on the H3 podcast.
No.
And so I think my dad just made this up.
But he only did it when he peed.
I only remember him singing it while he peed. And
Corndog
so
Willie.
I think he would make up different lyrics every time. Okay. But they always involved someone named Corndog Willie.
He's probably talking about his wiener.
He could have been. I certainly never thought that peed as a kid. But I started to find that just a really funny phrase. You know, yeah. Corn. And we named our cat Corn. And we were really embarrassed.
What color is your cat?
Gray.
Okay.
And yeah, when we got Corn, we thought that like the vet would not think we were taking the responsibility seriously. So we said, oh, his name's actually Cornelius. But no, it's Corn.
Yeah, I named my cat Jimmy Neutron. They didn't care.
His cat's name, or his dog's name, is Worm.
Worm. Yeah, that's great. We've got another cat named Pickle. And our next one I want to call Spinach.
Just a vegetable.
Just vegetables. But yeah, and then I just started, you know, really embracing corn, and people didn't understand why. And that's what I want to do. Yeah. I want to make people curious.
Yeah, curious and confused.
And then on TikTok, I joined so late, like every version of my name, Vsauce, they were all taken. So I'm Corndog Willie. And I like that because I think it's important to be able to have new shows where this isn't the official Vsauce TikTok. This is Corndog Willie.
This is different. You don't expect the same thing from me. And if you do, you're an idiot.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you very much. Go check out Corndog Willie on TikTok, Vsauce on YouTube.
And Electric Pants on Instagram.
Electric Pants on Instagram.
Tweet Sauce on Twitter.
Twat Sauce on Twatter.
Vsauce HQ on Facebook. It used to be Vsauce Gaming because that's what Vsauce was.
Yeah.
It was a gaming channel. So I made the Facebook account Vsauce Gaming. I just changed it like literally 3 days ago.
And you're just posting recut versions. Are you doing all that?
I haven't done that yet, but I do want to sit down and cut up my videos. I was talking with Kevin and Studio 71 about doing it, But I'm like, I kind of want to do this. I want to sit down and just watch all my videos, clip out bits, and I don't know, kind of learn about myself. I'm putting reels on Facebook.
Yeah. Do you like watching your old videos, or do you think it's interesting to see a video you haven't like seen in a long time?
Sometimes I really don't like doing it, but sometimes I'm in a mood and I do learn a lot about like how I've changed. It kind of blows my mind to watch episodes that I made in the past where they're like a lot shorter and they really just go all over the place. And I'm like, wow, that really was just, I looked at all my browser tabs that were open and I said, okay, here's the video.
We're doing everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I should start doing more of that. Because it definitely is faster than saying, okay, this is going to be the video about ontology.
Yeah.
Instead, just be like, oh, yeah, an unrelated note, here's this cool color, you know?
I kind of like that. I kind of feel like I should do more of exactly just that casual, like, here's an idea, let's try something weird, try not to make too big of a deal out of it.
I think the format that it has to work this way, the title must be the first thing you discuss. You get to an answer, And then you just do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And that's what I wound up doing with Did People Used to Look Older? I was like, well, I can answer that in whatever it was, 5 or 6 minutes, 8 minutes. Then I'm going to start talking about faces. And then I'm going to talk about age and what age do people wish that they were? And how does that change throughout your life? And then I talked about dreams.
Is there an answer to that? What age do people wish they were? I feel like that's got to be a pretty interesting answer, actually.
Yeah. Well, if you survey people of all ages, the average age that people want to be is 36.
36?
36.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
I would have guessed like early 20s, like 25, no, 23.
My interpretation would be everyone who's been past their 30s knows that their 20s were kind of like you're spending so much time trying to figure out who and what you are and what you're doing. So usually by the time at least you hit 30, you kind of have an idea.
Figured out.
So I think most people older than 30 don't want to go back to their 20s.
All the 30-year-olds listening to this who have nothing figured out are panicking right now. Yeah.
It's fascinating because in the United States, everyone under 21 wishes they were older.
Yeah.
Okay. And everyone over 21 wishes they were younger to some degree.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
But 36, the researchers that wrote a whole paper about this explained that like at 36, people do not report being the happiest.
Mm.
But their hypothesis was that when you're around that age, you have a lot of responsibilities and stress. And so later on in life, that's when you look back and realize that you were needed. It might not have been fun while you were doing it, but your boss, your kids, your partner, they all needed you. And it was stressful, but man, you had a reason.
That's almost the worst reason to want to be.
That's so interesting. I feel like that's like the just entire existence in life is thinking things are bad, but then they're actually good, but they're good because they're a little bit bad. They're like bad in the right way.
They're bad in just the right way. And then when you're super old, you don't have the same stresses, but no one's knocking on your door.
And it's actually somehow maybe worse.
It's kind of,
And you think that like having to leave work and have your boss be mad because your daughter had to go to the doctor and all of this, it all revolved around you were needed.
Yeah. Now no one needs you because you're old and stinky.
And that's something that we should think a lot about as a society.
Yeah.
Growing old is really, really fascinating to me. That's why the Alzheimer's Association is the our big charity.
Are you doing another one? Because I think I saw a video you did with them like 6 years ago or something, but is this like a yearly thing you do?
Well, yeah, I've been talking to a researcher who's been looking into loneliness and dementia, and they find that actually like being alone doesn't connect.
But really?
Feeling alone does.
Wow.
To the onset of dementia.
That's interesting. Because I feel like I have like two elderly people with dementia on my street, and they both are, to me, isolated.
Mm.
And I'm like, I wonder if there is a connection there because, maybe.
I think it's like what Michael said. Like being alone is different than feeling alone. Like,
yeah.
For example, like my grandmother, she is, like when my grandfather passed away, she never remarried. So she was alone for a long time. But I remember my mom once said, because my older brother's moving out, it was like, oh, your grandmother's alone a lot. Maybe like your brother could move in with her and take the basement. And you know who didn't want that? My grandmother. She freaked
wanted
out.
To be alone.
She goes, oh my God, then I'll have to, I don't have to live with like a 20-year-old. She goes, I want my space.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my grandmother, like growing up, spent all of her time taking care of us. It was nothing against my brother. She was like, no, I want to hang out with my friends. Like, so she spent a lot of time alone, but she liked it.
Right.
Interesting.
Even now she lives alone, but it's like she has so much stuff to do that
she doesn't feel like she feels
close though?
She lives across the street from me actually now. Yeah. Now
she has a support network and stuff like that.
Yeah. So it's like she can get help and see anybody she wants whenever, but she lives alone in her condo. And she's like, I don't want anyone living with me.
Does she have dementia or anything?
No, she's almost 90.
She's Japanese, yeah.
Yeah, and she'll do things where she goes, one day we're at the office. My mom's like, oh, she's going to come by. I'm like, how's she getting here? She doesn't have a car. Oh, she's walking.
Right.
It's like 2 kilometers almost. And then she goes, oh, it's on the way because she's walking to a store. It's like an hour and a half walk. I'm like, this is more exercise than I do, and my grandma's 90.
The Japanese side of our family is
the grandmother, she's like 103.
I also they also never turn their lights on. So they always are in the dark. Like they never turn the lights on at night.
Who? Your grandparents?
No, my neighbors.
Okay.
My neighbors. And I didn't notice that till one of them died. And then they turned the lights on. And I'm like, whoa, wait. They could have had the lights on this whole... They never had the lights on at night. Not once.
Wow. So it's like pioneer days.
Yeah.
That was the thing that my grandparents would do. We would not turn on... We would use no electricity all day. So you had to eat dinner. It's often like getting quite dark.
Yeah.
And then you can stay up if you want. You can use candles. But it's a great kind of meditative exercise.
No. See, because now I think there's some kind of like... Some kind of link between darkness and dementia. Well, so I keep the lights on.
If you keep the lights on.
The 5G, the lights emit. Yeah.
I think you feel really connected to the earth if you don't use electric lights and you just kind of realize, hey, it's going to be dark now.
Yeah.
What if I just allow it to be dark?
Yeah. We kind of did that up at the silver mine.
Yeah.
There's something freeing about it.
Yeah, we were just up at a silver mine in the Mojave. A guy runs a YouTube channel. It's called the Cerro Gordo Silver Mine. And there's power there. But it really is, you're very much incentivized
to not use
to
it.
To start shutting down kind of as it starts getting darker. Cause it's like, even though there's lights, it's still like not a lot of light.
There's like maybe like two incandescent bulbs in each house.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, I love it here at this office. If I'm working late, I try to go as long as I can without using lights because I like
the dark,
that
the
change.
Darkness.
I don't mind like the night, but waking up in the morning, I'll take a shower in like the pitch black because I'm not ready to wake up yet.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Have you ever done that?
No.
Like, there's something so jarring about turning on the lights and it's like this bright blue light and
you like
just kind
that?
Of, yeah.
That's sick. You're sick.
No, wait, what? No.
No, he likes being in the dark.
Oh, yeah, the dark's like great. The dark. I thought you said you like the lights coming off.
I hate waking up in the dark.
Do you have a nice soft lamp?
Do you know what I use?
I mean, I always kind of wake up like right at sunset or sunrise anyway, so I just kind of like to, you know.
Our toilet.
Yeah, right.
Our toilet has like a nightlight. It's like a fancy bidet. So when you walk in front of it, it opens up and the nightlight turns on. Like I will, if I go to the bathroom like at night, I will try to like do everything and brush my teeth before that nightlight goes off. Like I really like the
and
sort of soft.
Just that light.
Just
only that light,
the
yeah.
soft light in the bathroom. Like even if I go and take a shower, Chelsea will sometimes come in and turn the light on. And I'm like, turn the light off. Like even if it's like daytime, it's just like, I don't know what it is. Like maybe I just, night owl or something.
I like retina burning.
You do?
Light.
You're sick. Six.
Like I would at my office, I just crank. I just crank I like being just like no shadows, nothing.
Well, you guys also don't get any sun up where you're at.
Yeah, at the North Pole. Summer we do. Just the winter it gets like.
Yeah.
It's the same here actually.
Is it really?
I took one of those. Not that different.
23andMe tests, and I have one of the genes for Alzheimer's disease.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, the APOE3, I think it is, that gives you a slightly increased risk. Yeah, so I'm like, oh.
So now you're keeping all the lights on.
He's trying to build up his collection of dangerous tools.
Yeah, so it's good to know because we know a lot about prevention.
Yeah.
And, you know, keeping your brain active and feeling needed and not alone.
Yeah, I know. I've gone over all of it.
You have the hundreds of dogs.
Multiple times. I keep going over it.
Hundreds of dogs.
All the links are purple, but I don't remember clicking them.
Kevin, I think the rabies is going to get you way before the Alzheimer's.
Yeah, that squirrel rabies.
Just keep building your collection of dangerous tools, and then, you know, the time will come
when I forget that this one's dangerous.
You forget how it works, and it sucks you in.
Okay.
And then you don't have to worry about anything.
What side of the family did that come from?
Probably my grandma, my grandparents.
Send her a nasty
or my mom's
saying,
side.
Thank you for this.
But it's rare. It's like only her mom and her aunt had it, and then nobody else has had it.
Okay.
So
I'm too terrified to get a test like that.
Yeah.
I'll just, whatever happens, happens.
But honestly, if you live to like, you know, 65, 70,
that's a good
80,
life.
I mean, like you're living like pretty good, longer than most people.
Yeah. I want to know what's after dementia because we used to, you know, not be driving the ship of our survival.
Mm-hmm.
And then we really have done a lot with heart disease.
Yeah.
And then cancer became a bigger thing. We're living long enough now that cancer is an issue and we're making progress or improving quality of life and outcomes, mm-hmm. but eventually you're going to hit this dementia wall. They're all behind the natural selection shadow. Like, yeah. These are not things that we had to evolve to avoid, because you can have kids and reproduce before you get cancer.
Yeah, this reminds me of my like electronics courses for like digital engineering, where you were doing something called a Carnot map, where you take all the possibilities of like a binary system and you condense it down into logic gates. And one of the things you would do is, if you didn't necessarily need every output, so like let's say you have, you know, 3 bits, right, which gives you 8 possibilities, or that, you know, you have 1, 2, 3, you have 8 choices. If you need to rep a system that only has, let's say, 5 choices, you know, you can't use 2 bits, which would be 4, you have to use 3.
Right.
But that leaves you 3 open options.
No, more options.
So you can simplify the system by just letting those options become whatever you want. And so you don't try to force them to be anything. You just say, you can be whatever, because we're never going to get there. And that kind of makes me think it's like very, very similar of like, you've been built to be a certain way, like you've sort of evolved over time, but it never really worried about what happened at the end, because it didn't matter, because you'd never get there. And so you essentially, everything you do now works up until you turn about, you know, what, 60, 70, 80. And then all of a sudden, so I can imagine, like, once you sort of fix that problem, what the hell is going to fall apart after that?
Yeah, once we're living to 150, what are we going to... Oh, your nose turns blue.
Your skin just falls off.
You grow wings and can fly. I don't know.
It probably won't be something cool like that. I think it's going to be the skin falling off.
But it might be.
Yeah.
Or is it? All right. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Thank you to everyone on Patreon who allows us to do stupid things. We just filmed this Santa video. We tried to see who was the best mall Santa.
Yeah. Okay.
That was fun. And we went up to Silver Mine. We bought 2 cars and converted them to be off-roading machines and drove up to Silver Mine. So people send us money and we do really dumb things with it. So, Nigel, you want to eat a name?
No. Okay. Is this name eatable or edible?
Okay, I'll grab one of the names and then I'll give you, and you eat it. Now fart it out. Just make it kind of like a cloud come out on the side.
Whoa, nice fart.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody. Go check out Patreon. We've got exclusive content there, or stuff that comes out early. And thank you very much.
Yeah.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
To the sauce himself. Have you ever considered making like a sauce? Did you ever make, you have to have done this.
Sauce? I made a V-sauce with Jamie Oliver.
Okay.
With green tomatillos.
Did you sell it?
No, we tried to, and they wanted to, like, you know, do a Kickstarter, and I just wanted them to make it, and, you know. But the recipe's in the video. Go look it up.
Okay. I would, if you had sauce, I'd buy the sauce.
Thank you.